Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this open session of the Pacifica National Board. Directors, I would request that you be seated so you can listen to public comment. Is there a list of people who'd like to make public comment? Okay. Can somebody distribute a list so I have a list of people who'd like to make public comment? While we're doing that, would someone like to begin public comment? You can just step up to the microphone if you'd like to. Okay, let Marla. Hello, Marla.
Hello. Hi. I know we have a collaborative effort with the news, and I'm not going to make a judgment about that because I haven't spent enough time listening. But the part of it that I listened in the beginning because somebody was in the station. They said, "Oh, we have to listen. I have to listen to the news. I have to go." And in the beginning, when it was switched on, it just got switched on right away, and I thought that it was a little abrupt for the listeners in LA who don't normally hear those voices in the news that were from KPFA or wherever part of California those voices were. And I think that a little bit of an announcement ahead of time would have been more appropriate because the people weren't used to it, and all it did was it just came on to the first story. And I think it was a little disrespectful of the listener, and I think we need to be, you know, we need to definitely be sharp on the air in that way and pay attention to that. But other than that, you know, I'm not going to make any more judgment about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there someone else who'd like to make public comment?
California corporate case law. Let me read from California corporate case law here. Iron Works versus Central Iron Works, whatever. Directors may not abdicate their authority by delegating their powers of management of the corporation to other persons. I'm specific about the idea that we would hire an HR director by interviewing two people, and that the 20 people who wanted that job, we never saw. The director never saw, the board never saw, and that was delegated to a volunteer, a hired consultant, whatever. We seem to have this thing going that we just don't have time as board members, as directors, so we're going to farm it out, and we can't.
Thank you.
Okay. Would anyone else like to give public comment, make a statement of some sort? Okay, you can.
Actually, I have three short audio clips I'd like to play that they have, and also we received over the internet this morning some public comment, basically from folks who were at an assembly in New York yesterday, which is going to be the subject of some actions that the board may be taking of some consequence to that audience. And it's in a form where it can be presented to the board by playing it back. It runs about 14 minutes. There are 13 people, so it's about a minute per person. This is from a Mumia event yesterday that took place in New York City.
Okay, I believe that this section of the agenda is for public comment of the public. Not for recordings.
Well, understood. These are members of the public that ask specifically that we present their public comments to the board during this session, and they are the people who will be most affected by the actions of this board with respect to BAI.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I wonder if we might take that at the end of public comment.
Okay. Are those 14 people present?
No, they're in New York. Not everyone is able to come out here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, how about having a hearing in New York then before you act against New York? To ask, basically, are you being served by the programming at WBAI? Ask the people in New York, either let them send the information here or actually come to the community and ask them, which I invite you to do, by the way.
Okay, thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Might it be possible to hear a few of them?
No, it's an audio clip of an event.
I'm sorry. These are 13 people that went to a camera and said, here's my 1 minute statement to the PNB.
May it be possible, may I move that we listen to five of them? If they're a minute each?
Yeah, the minute, some are 40 seconds, some are 70 seconds.
You know, I'd prefer to take, there are people here who are making public comment.
Yes.
I'd prefer to take those people first, and then if there's time, we can move on to others.
All right, so if there is time, then you would...
It'll be up to the body.
All right, I have three clips on this that I'd like to be played, and I have very short comments after that.
Okay, so let's go on to the next person, who is Zarina Shakir.
Okay, assalamu alaikum again, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and Zarina Shakir from WPFW, Washington, D.C. This is going to be brief. How much time do we have anyway?
I would say not too many people are signed up for public comments, so I'd say 3 minutes would be good.
Okay. What I want to say today has a lot to do with the past of the Pacifica National Board and our own local station boards, and all that I've said in the past couple of days, which may have set not very well with people, is coming from me and from some of the people from our board that I represent. The Pacifica National Board, there are some things that have been suggested over the past 6 years, and I see that still this board is not even looking at this as a possibility. I don't think I've heard it come up in any teleconferences that I've listened to or any of your sessions. It's called fundraising. It's called trying to raise money to keep the network going, and not just by pledge drives. And to think that we are in New York, D.C., Texas, L.A. and Berkeley, where there is hordes of money, people who are of celebrity status, who have had the opportunity to be heard on the Pacifica Network stations, yet it seems like we just can't get to do the work. It's called work, ladies and gentlemen, and to raise money as opposed to taking out loans even, or to try and get it through pledge drives, it's just like college or universities. You can't get enough money through tuitions to keep Harvard or a community college going. You need to do fundraising or have endowments or to have the alumni to help assist. And that's something I've not seen yet. We don't even have a development committee, yet we've got all these other committees that require money. It's like a commercial radio or television station where who brings the money in? The account execs, the salespeople. But everybody else from the news department, the producers, the HR person, everybody else spends the money. So I would like to at least ask, when are you going to begin to focus on how to bring money in instead of spending it? The other thing I'd like to say where the PMB is concerned is to just ask the question that has been asked by one of our reps repeatedly of our station manager. What is your vision? What is the PMB's mission?
30 seconds.
I know what the mission is that Lou Hill put forth, but what is your mission, and where are you going to take this network, and how are you going to do that, with or without the money? I just would like to leave that question on you and hope that at some point it will be answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, while she's still here, she is a chair of the LSB of WPFW, correct?
Yes.
Am I not on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Rico, maybe at the end of public comment, because we don't want to, we want to, if Zarina can stay, we want to proceed on and give as many people the chance to make public comment as possible. We don't want to detract from it by speaking as board members. The next person is Anthony Fest.
Good afternoon again. Anthony Fest, KPFA LSB member, newscaster, and council member on the unpaid staff organization. Earlier this month, our general manager re-recognized the unpaid staff organization as the official representative of KPFA's unpaid staff. And I want to, this was after a struggle that took over a year and a half, so I want to say thank you to everybody who made that happen, to Grace for the making it clear that the resolutions of this board have to be obeyed, to Bob Lederer, who wrote that resolution, and to everyone who was on the PNB at the time and voted for that resolution. I think this is a case where the fairness of the situation bridged the usual divide on the PNB. So thanks to everyone for that. It won't, this alone won't win back the respect that the unpaid staff merits, but it is a big step. And I would add that the unpaid staff here is the majority of the staff. It does the majority of the airtime. And I would say as well, it's been the, in recent years, it's been the source of the growth and innovation at the station. All of the new programs that have come along in recent years, let me just name a few, Guns and Butter, Bay Native Circle, Women's Program, Apex Express, Pushing Limits, all by unpaid staff. Sad to say that innovation has kind of come to a stop in the last couple of years. Not coincidentally, our program council has also been marginalized and now is not even being allowed to meet. I think we've got to resume, you know, democratic and participatory decision-making in order to continue the growth and innovation that should be the hallmark of KPFA and the entire Pacifica network. So thanks for everyone for being here this weekend, and I wish you all a safe trip home.
Thank you. Is there another list, or would someone else like to make a public comment? Brian?
Anthony just jogged my mind. Speaking of programming innovation, we're producing a new national product out of KPFA called Letters to Washington, the first 100 days. How many of you are carrying it at your stations, the daily version or the weekly version? We've been getting tremendous feedback from our own listeners about it, from our affiliates about it, and from some of the other Pacifica stations that are carrying it. Mitch is a fabulous producer, and he's been doing something I think we can afford to do a lot more of on KPFA, which is actually putting politicians in the hot seat, getting Congress members on the air, asking them challenging questions that they don't hear from the mainstream media, holding them to account, and putting them in the same program as some of the most interesting progressive analysts we have available to us today. Why do I raise this? I know you're looking for ways to raise audience. I know you're looking for ways to save money. This is a program that does not cost very much money. If our listener stats are any indication, it's caused quite a spike in the time slot where we've been airing it. And the fundraising we do immediately following it during the one fund drive we've had has been good. The first 100 days are up this week. If you are aboard and you're serious about moving the network forward, I would be trying to find a way to make that project continue in some form, either as a daily or weekly program. It's been entirely out of KPFA's pocket. We do have to make some cuts in the near future. I don't know how viable it is going to be to continue a new project without some level of financial investment, but I would take sorting that out up as one of your priorities.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Would another person like to make a public comment? Okay.
I'm a listener, and I'm not trying to take over the station. I just would like to have some opportunity to talk and hear other people talk. The call-ins are not – you don't have much opportunity at KPFA to call in to the station. So if I want to call in and talk about 9/11, I can't do that. I mean, it's just – it's like – it's not a listener-generated agenda. It's a agenda that seems to be generated by the people who run the station. So from 1975 till 1990, nobody talked about East Timor because it wasn't, you know, something that the mainstream wasn't talking about. In 1991, when the mainstream media started talking about East Timor, then KPFA started talking about it. And it's the same thing. You can't talk about what you want to talk about. And it's just like there's no opportunity. There's no opportunity. It's just run by the people who get a hold of the station, and they decide what's going to be talked about. And a lot of times I hear stuff on KPFA. I think, oh, that's very interesting. But then I turn to KALW or KQED, and I hear the same thing on that station. They seem to be saying, you know, whatever I think is controversial on KPFA and good, it seems to be covered by the other stations. There's not anything, you know, that is really that special about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person here is on the list is Serene Roberts. And then Errol Maitland, and then Aki Tanaka, is that it? Yes. All right, so Serene, are you ready?
She said she'd be back.
All right. Next person is Errol Maitland. Okay. Aki Tanaka. All right. I hope I have that. Okay, there we go.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of the people from WBAI talk about the fact that the board is trying to curtail the, you know, what they're trying to do to further the mission. Blue Hill is names been brought up. And then I see that in the fundraising, I see that, you know, their per day take is so much lower than like LA and Berkeley. And I say, well, when I was, you know, a young person, I was very idealistic and I wanted to do all of the right things. And a little bit more grounded friend told me that I also had to make a living, that I had to get a job. And I think that those two things, you know, you can conflate the two. You can still have the mission, but you also have to be responsible for paying your bills. And I think that we should not say one or the other, but you have to do both. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you very much. Next person is Stan Woods. Okay, that's fine. I'll keep going down the list, and then when people are ready, they'll let me know. Bob Lederer.
I'm Bob Lederer. I'm a staff representative on the local station board and a program co-producer. What has become clear over the last several weeks with the actions and decisions of this board and its chair and acting and interim executive director is that there's a pattern going on of gross disrespect and disregard for the concerns and the perspectives of the staff and particularly of management. And this has most been visible at WBAI, but it's also been true throughout the system. As several of us have mentioned throughout the weekend, the whole incident with the decision by the interim ED to lock down the transmitters was done without any consultation, without any authorization, and without even the courtesy of notifying the general manager. The decision to impose a gag rule on all five stations that no one can discuss anything on the air that's alleged to put the foundation at risk, which is a highly subjective term that is grossly beyond any of the legal standards that have been well established. Again, no consultation, no discussion with managers or staff, just arbitrarily imposed by fiat. Then you have the board's authorization explicitly to the ED to go further than this and to impose any discipline on any person throughout the entire network who is not, in the eyes of the ED, fully implementing every single PNB motion and every single directive coming from top management, regardless of what the mitigating circumstances might be, regardless of any discussion or dialogue. So, and then finally, yesterday, the travesty of the election policy that was passed that mandates 40 hours of on-air tutorials during a 30-day period and 75 hours of on-air debates, never mind, and it explicitly says, regardless of whether on-air fundraising is going on or anything else that's important to the survival of the network, it's governance gone wild, governance on steroids, and this illusion that every listener is paying rapt attention to every detail of the election process rather than wanting the content, the programming that they cherish so much that represents speaking truth to power and the struggles in their communities, that takes second fiddle to this obsession over hour upon hour of you know, the details of governance fights. And I just think, again,
30 seconds.
Okay. Again, there is a complete and utter disregard for the people who are on the ground doing the work every day in this network. This board is taking its power, it has gone to its head, and it is preparing the ground for devastating consequences financially, programmatically, and in every other way because of this sort of contempt that's being shown for the workers of this network. And the workers of this network are not going to accept it. We're going to fight back and resist this with every ounce of our being.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Richard Phelps.
Good afternoon. Sometimes I keep finding myself in this position where I've got to be the guy who tells the hard truth. The contempt mentioned by the last speaker was most profoundly shown in this organization in the last 5 years by his group of people that are running this board. And I'll document that and debate it with anybody. In fact, I've challenged all the people in my local area to debate that for 5 years. None of them will. Why? I'm no superpower. The facts are the superpower. You want to talk about elections and what he was just talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, for two elections in a row, we had a wonderful little collusion going on out here. The concerned listeners mailed out their mailer to correspond with the ballots. And guess what? When the ballots went out, was there anything on the air for the listeners to know anything? No, because Lem Lem Regio said, it's fun drive and you can't do it. So they got their stuff right to the people. Well, nobody else heard anything. And then I'm going to tell you the topper of the whole thing. And this is, you know, you're talking about values yesterday. There's a lot of capital BS in this room about values. Because, look, if you want to change society, there's one thing you have to do. You have to be true and honest with people. Okay? That's what the RNC, the DNC. Think about the socialist countries that have gone under. Were those leaders being true and honest? Somewhere, outside influence. But social organizations that I've been involved in 45 years, a lot of them have gone down because people have been individualistic and put power before principle. When they finally let us in the last election, put the candidate carts on, contrary to how we'd always done it before, which was two or three at a time, there's a list here of some people that are the internal group, Brian's old email. One of those people put the cart together. And guess what? One of the candidates was on this list, and guess who got put first in the order of 22? Now, I'm an attorney. I know what the theory of primacy means. What you hear first affects you the most. There's studies on that all up and down. Sherry Gendelman's cart was first. Mine was like 17th. And a lot of other people's, you know, were way down the line. You don't put 22 carts in a row and run them that way. If you give a damn about it. And if that, I'll be honest with you, if that had been me instead of Sherry and I was first, I would have said, no way, don't do it. It's not fair.
30 seconds.
So the point is, if we're going to have fair elections, the people need to know. The first principle of democracy is people have to have knowledge. And when you don't let them have knowledge, you don't have good democracy. That's why we had struggles here with, director's inspections and transparency and lots of things, and I'm gonna have to write this up someday, a whole lot of it, maybe 100, 200 pages, so that when people get up here and tell their distortions of truth, everybody will know.
Thank you. And the next person is Serene Roberts ready? Or Errol Maitland? Okay. All right, they're not ready. Tracy Rosenberg?
Hi again. I think I'm just going to take a couple minutes of your time just to talk a little bit about, you know, the big vision picture stuff, because I heard you guys going over that in your strategic planning session yesterday. And I thought there were a couple of – well, I had a thought that I didn't hear at the table, so I'm going to put it out in this public comment session. In my day job, my non-Pacifica life, I'm the executive director of a media advocacy and activism organization. So we talk about the role of media in society quite a bit. And a good friend of mine was talking about internet policy, because as you know, there's an internet out there, and there's a lot of stimulus money floating around. There's a lot of people trying to get some of it. And perhaps Pacifica should be trying to get some of it, but that's another issue. But one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, what do people use the internet for? And in a sense, what do people use media for? And he was making a case, and I think a pretty strong case. It's not the information. Information's not that hard to come by. It's the community. That's what people are doing. They're trying to find community. They're trying to find perspectives and information and connections across that wire. He's absolutely right. And he used the analogy of a telephone in the sense of what good would telephone service be if you picked it up, you could listen to other people talk, and maybe you could listen to them talk on 50 channels, but you could never talk back. Your part of it is restricted to listening to it or changing the channel and listening to somebody else or somebody else or somebody else or turning the whole stupid thing off. Where's the part where you get to talk back? That's important to people. So what I want you to sort of get a sense of is that you're doing community media. You're helping people find that community, and that's a dialogue back and forth. And it seems to me that there's two visions here. And I think for me at least, I'm pretty clear where Lou Hill was in terms of which side of this sort of divide. But I think it's one of the things you should try to think about in this strategic planning process. Are these local, vital, two-way communication centers for the communities that they're in where people receive information and they give things back? In other words, is it an open place? Or is this a closed shop where some people dispense information to other people? Which of those two visions is closer, A, to what our mission is, and B, you know, how we're going to build things that people feel engaged in and that people feel like they're a part of? Because in the end, it's the things that you are a part of that you give your money to. Because I know I'm living on a nonprofit income. I make peanuts. I know exactly who I donate to. It's the things that I am a part of. So I'd really give some thought to how we make people a part of this institution.
Thank you. All right. The next person are Serene Roberts or Errol Maitland available? Not yet? Okay.
Yeah, I was on top of that list. I didn't actually get to speak yet.
Pardon me?
I was on that top of that list, I think, or whichever was circulated here. But
okay.
Okay, thanks. Well, terrible mic technique. A couple of things. We have a committee in New York called the Management Evaluation Committee, which was set up and which is supposed to be having public meetings. The last meeting was actually canceled unilaterally by email by Steve Brown, who's a member of that committee. He's the guy who has this long history that I'm sure you're all aware of sending these hostile ranting emails about the program director. And he decided, well, gee, the committee was appointed for 6 months. 6 months have passed. The committee's dead. Goodbye. As opposed to bringing it actually to the board and saying, well, you know, we've reached the term that was established. This is what we've done. What would you like us to do next? So I think there's a problem with that process. But I hope you will pay attention to that process since it was the process that was established publicly and no individual should be able to cancel it. And I wanted to read portions of a letter that I've written to the PNB and to which I've gotten some responses, but where I think it has served two purposes, not necessarily ones that I think will ultimately serve us all well. I had asked the question about Grace Aaron's repeated assertions that her attempt to lock the staff out of the transmitter in New York and change the locks and her showing up in New York unannounced. Well, I'm sorry. She did give 3 days' notice after she had coordinated with everyone else who was coming on the trip that, hey, I'm coming to help you and fix you and whatever the case is. And I asked on what meetings the PNB sanctioned that and asked for minutes and the agenda and so forth. And I'm still waiting and hoping to get that information, as is required, I think, by our bylaws and by California law that I often hear get quoted when people want to do something. And I ended that letter with these words. You each have a responsibility to uphold our bylaws regardless of your personal politics and preferences. And to those of you who exhibit an understanding of this in your deliberation on matters put before you, I'm deeply grateful. So then I got a response from someone who said, well, okay, and what about the finances? No one denies that we have a severe financial problem. No one denies that something has to be done. And when I heard Tony's report about the long list of things that we need to do. We live with that, so we know what the problems are. We also know that when Greg Gumma authorized the then interim general manager to take $9,000 that was set aside for MEMSIS training and go get a personal development course.
30 seconds.
A personal development course, and to take someone who had been illegally hired along on the trip with her instead of actually doing the MEMSIS training, that we were going to continue to suffer from those deficits. The other question I asked at the end of my follow-up letter, decisions like taking over a station's broadcasting and management mark a significant change from the way the bylaws revision process suggested we would operate. To have such decisions made secretly, thanks, I'm wrapping up, and by a subsection of the board should be repugnant to any bylaw observant member of the Pacifica community, and other directors should be more conscious than to serve as a rubber stamp. So I hope everybody's got their director's insurance fully paid, since you guys continue to allow this person serving as IED to behave in manners that I believe are illegal. Thanks.
All right. I think Don DeBar wished to speak next.
I had three short clips I wanted to play, but I'm going to forego that. I'm going to make reference to the Friday evening discussion of the condition of WBAI, the report that was from Tony and others after the visit to New York by your team. And essentially, I wanted to say, if you're making any decisions based on those reports, they're insufficient. There's some serious deficiencies of information. One example of it, one glaring example, was a discussion about the studios. On Saturday, while you guys were in executive session for that extended period of time, I was sitting with Errol Maitland outside, and I had met Tony when he was at the station. I introduced Errol to Tony, or he introduced himself to whatever, we all kind of started talking. That was the first time they met. Errol Maitland was involved when the studios were built that are such a problem at WBAI. He was not involved in building them, but he was rather a victim of the construction and the fact that they're functional at all as a result of his Herculean efforts at that time. This was something, again, that was imposed by Pat Scott and Pacifica National. They weren't even functional the way they were designed. Errol Maitland, as a producer of our 6 to 12 slot, but certainly our drive time program, was never interviewed or talked to by anyone. So I'm guessing if you're interviewing about the programming, there's a serious deficiency there. I'll point out again, this guy's one that spawned Democracy Now!, your flagship, which is what you guys are asking us to pay you for now to use. And, was involved from the outset in the design, or rather the remedies to the design of the studio. So to the extent you're relying on information that was culled from the visit, I see this one hole just from my little perspective, and I'd like to invite you to come back. No one interviewed me. No one spoke with me. There were, I would say, half the producers there no one spoke with, and there's an interesting bias to the collection of people that apparently were spoken to that shakes out along the political divide, and I think that that's a huge error. And I think it's one that's going to result in a larger divide after actions are taken on that intelligence gathering, if, you know, to use it, that term. That's going to result in more, you know, basically people choosing upsides on lines that are being chosen by the you know, by this board. I don't want to see that happen. I would really like to see the station come around. I think financially, the one big hole, there are other problems, but the one big hole, the lease, is something that can be pretty easily remedied with a little bit of work. I'd like to ask the IED, by the way, I sent you an email about 5 or 6 days ago. I know you've been busy with this meeting, but there's some information that I could use from BAI or from you, further information about the lease that I think would allow me to give you a presentation on how to get out of the lease.
Okay. So. Thank you. Errol Maitland? Is Errol Maitland ready? Okay.
I just want to say again, this hurts very much to be back here in Berkeley. Okay, and I'm here in the spirit of reconciliation because Pacifica and WBAI is something that I love, something that I cherish. I really felt hurt because I spend from 5:30 every day, Monday to Friday, till about 12:15 my entire working day without a single break in the master control of WBAI. I am the senior producer of Wake Up Call, the drive time morning program in this network. Mitch Jesuits came and got training under me at WBAI and our team. And he's back out here doing a good job producing a morning program. I was the technical director of Democracy Now! And one of the persons that Amy referred to as the spiritual advisor to that program. And in the spirit of reconciliation, I have worked hard to maintain and to sustain WBAI. I have gone across this country and helped erect low-power FM radio stations. Okay, I have done it all, and I've done it. I have taken the blow. Okay, in New York, I almost died, and I still have not recovered from it. I came to Berkeley, and I was threatened with arrest by a Secret Service agent, by Mary Frances Berry. And through all that, I have stood up, and through all that, I have been optimistic about this network. And this is the first time, really, in years that I have felt pessimistic about this network. Now, there are people on this board who have told lies about me and innuendos and slanders and the like, and I have never responded. The other day, I did say that there are some members of this board, or not this board, but our local advisory board, who, if they weren't being paid by the CIA, should be getting paid because they are doing that work. And that is something I truly believe. I still believe that there is some time for reconciliation, for some time to acknowledge that we have not all done right, but to open up and heal. And I got to agree with Mr. Phelps over there.
30 seconds.
Who talked about the fact that things have not been done right and sides are topsy-turvy. And there has to be another way. And I am suggesting that we respect everyone and that we find a way before we have to go down a road again that I personally don't want to go down. But I want to thank you very much, and I want to, again, reach out a hand for us to all talk and to reconcile this. I feel deeply, just one little point of personal privilege. I felt deeply offended that people could walk into my house and walk right past me without even an how to do. And that is something that is highly and deeply disrespectful, and I felt that. And I think I am owed an apology for that, for the work that I have done, and just for me being a person.
Thank you. The next person on the list, let's see, is Virginia Browning.
Hi, thank you for being here. I guess I decided to speak, even though I know you're all tired and everything, and you probably already know this, but it isn't 75 hours of election debates on the air that was passed. But we really do need to try and at least have one experiment of fair elections in this thing since the 99 deal. So, I didn't realize that was Errol Maitland that came up here and spoke yesterday and kind of held down the wild end of things, I guess you could say. But, people are overworked. I know there are people at KPFA that they must be overworked because they have 8 billion things to do, and it sounds like he has 8 billion things to do. And people do need to somehow figure out ways to respect each other, even in this incredible rift, I know, which, I appreciate, a lot of us appreciate so much that somebody finally dug into dealing with this sucking out of money at WBAI, and we don't all know all the little ins and outs, but if there can be more dialogue, I mean, there can be something like an addiction to too much work. When people are working too many hours, you get a sort of non-clear-headedness. Somehow there needs to be made room so that there's time for people to talk to each other. So I don't know what else I was going to say, but thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I think we're at the end of our list. Stan Woods.
Hi, I'm Stan Woods, former member of the KPFA Local Station Board. I am glad I missed most of yesterday, but I'm glad there's some headway to assuring fair elections this time. Richard Phelps spoke earlier about all the irregularities that took place at the KPFA last time. And, KPFA recently had its 60th anniversary. And unfortunately, the real celebration won't be till tomorrow night, and it won't be officially by the station. It'll be by Coalition of Democratic Pacifica is having an event talking about it. Very modest emission charge. No one turned away from lack of funds, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, in this time where in California, the official unemployment's over 10%, if you include the millions that are underemployed, those who have given up work, looking for work altogether, it's far more than that. There was such a, I don't know how else to describe it, class bias celebration. KPFA 60th anniversary on April 15th was celebrated by a $300 to $500 a person fundraiser. I'm surprised they didn't call it a black tie gala. I mean, that's not the image we're supposed to send. I'm all for raising money. I'm all for raising money due to those progressives who are more affluent. But not by having a public event that has a prohibitive cover charge. You know, say we need to raise $1 million. I think there's a real divide between those of us who would rather have 40,000 people give $25 and those who'd rather have 1,000 people give $1,000 each. NPR already has that niche. We're not going to get the wealthy liberals, except for a few honorable exceptions. We should be going towards, and I don't want to use tired old left rhetoric, but we should be going to the working class of this country. They're hurting and looking for an honest voice to what's going on. And I think so. I hope the other stations don't emulate what KPFA did with the Street of $500 fundraiser. And also, there's many principal professionals who are still doing okay who wouldn't attend such an event on principle. I'm not, but my ex is a former attorney who's doing okay, and she was just aghast at the idea of $300 individual, $500 for a couple to attend a function of our station. It's just not the image, not the message we want to send. And one last point, one of the speakers,
30 seconds.
Okay, I'll make it real quick, talked about the idea of we need more interchange on the air. You know, there's a lot of people out there who call in the right-wing talk shows, not because they're really in agreement, because they feel like they have no way to express themselves. We should have our own, and all five stations, we should, or many affiliates, we should have our own talk shows, call-ins, where people can let their hair down and thrash it out. I believe we can take away a lot of people who really don't belong with the Rush Limbaughs of the society.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else who'd like to make a public comment? Going once. Hold up. One moment. We are at... is there anyone else who's here now who'd like to make a public comment? I'll leave it up to the body. It's now almost 2 o'clock.
You don't want to hear from the people from New York? Oh, I'm just asking. I was asking. That's all.
Okay.
No, I'm saying no.
Wait a second.
The whole board.
First, let me ask one more time if there's any body who hasn't had a chance to make a public comment. Would you like to make a public comment now? All right. Hearing no one. It's now 1:59 p.m. I'll leave it up to this body as to whether we want to go on with the agenda at this time. We've had 45 minutes of public comment. Do we want to continue on?
Yes, but the bylaws say 1 hour. Where's the mic? The bylaws says 1 hour, and we started late. I don't think that the community should be deprived of their time.
Okay.
And Grace, if I may, my apologies to all. I have a flight to catch. There is nothing political or personal in my leaving at this moment.
I have to do the same thing, if I may. I'd like to say thank you for your comment, and I wish I could stay, but I have to be on that same flight.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
All right. I would suggest we listen to the tapes from New York.
Fine.
Thank
okay.
you very
if
much.
There's no objection, we'll listen to those tapes.
Thank you.
But thank if you. I'm going to be shouted down like I have been in the recent past and stuff.
The only.
My name is Judith Ackerman. I've been a lover of WBAI since back in the 60s. I read children's stories for Bear Searles. I go back that far when we were in the Vera Institute of Justice. And I'm overwhelmed by the audacity of this new generation of people that want to just take over the station. This is the most creative and wonderful thing in the world, WBAI. It's kept people alive that would have been killed by now. Umi Abu Jamal would be dead if it weren't for WBAI. And now they want to come and control. We have fabulous programs. One program's better than the next. And they want to come and control everything? This is our station. I'm a supporter of WBAI. I go back a long way, and nobody's going to touch that station over my dead body.
You sound like that guy in the, what's his name?
Hands off. Hands off WBAI.
My name is Akua Montero. I say Afro-Latina woman. I support WBAI because always they have been bringing the topic that affect our community as an Afro-descendant. And I like the topic that bring from Cuba, from Venezuela, and all people of color.
How do you feel about the Pacifica coming in and maybe changing the program and getting rid of Bernard White and the program that he's done? You felt that he included the Latino community? And
yes, that's what I said. Me, as a, especially to me as an Afro-descendant,
yes
I'm very proud of the work that they've done, and I think it's unfair. And we need to organize the people.
All right.
And I could give him my 100% support.
Thanks a lot.
It's the racism against the black leaders within WBAI,
right.
And I totally support the local station to stay local, and we are going to fight and keep it that way and fight the racist firing of the leaders of WBAI whom we dearly respect and love. Free BA.
The firing of Bernard White and Riddle, they believe it's going to happen to them.
Fire
Bernard White.
Yeah, and Tony Riddle, who's a champ. He's a very healthy element.
I think it's a move by the corporate liberal wing of the Democratic Party to silence any possible opposition that will be coming up to their policies, which are very similar to the Bush administration in reality, in advance. And also to reinforce the system of white supremacy, which still exists despite the complexion of our president.
Okay. You can just.
No, we don't want them to fire Bernard White. BAI's People's Radio, not Pacifica's Radio. It's been run by the people all these years, and it's been beneficial and helpful to victims of police brutality. It's been beneficial and helpful to political prisoners like Momia Abu Jamal, Leonard Peltier, and to oppress people in general. So why would we want an outside group to come in and take over? We have the people that's been doing it all this time and been doing it a good job handling it. So no, we don't want Bernard White fired or anyone else fired. We want it to stay the way it's been, in the hands of the people, not these outside corporations.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
There's absolutely no reason to fire Bernard White. If anything, we need more people like him, and we need more programs like BAI.
It's funny to think that we would want to have an outside source come and help us with a voice that's been around for the longest now. If anything, we need to help in that field or in that category. We need more people spreading the message. So if they want to do anything, why don't you spread the message? We still have political prisoners that are suffering right now that have no voice. So stifling our voice right now is only pushing us back further. If you want to know where to improve things, let's start there.
I think it's shocking. I think that individual Pacific stations have to have some autonomy, and I think that they have no business coming in and telling us who our general manager should be, or programming director, rather. It's our business.
All right.
Okay. I'm Toby Emmer, and I'm a long-time supporter of WBAI, and the reason I am a longtime supporter of WBAI is because it's like oxygen to those of us who are whose main concern in life is social justice, is the ability to fight off the powers that be in the ways that harm us, our communities, our people, our future, our children's future. And in this particular instance, in this evening, my mind is with Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mm. Mumia has been on death row since 1981 for a crime he didn't commit. Without WBAI, without the voice that WBAI gives, which in this case is particularly appropriate because Mumia was known as a journalist as the voice of the voiceless. In this particular instance, it would all be silent. And in that case, yes, Mumia's death would be insured. And that is an injustice we cannot sit for. So I say, get the Pacifica board off of our minds, the way we used to say, get the government off of our bodies. And I say, long live WBAI in the formations of freedom and justice that flourish and need to flourish and save Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Thank you so much. Okay.
I just hope that they fight to keep this station in the right hands, because in the right hands it has given people opportunities to fight different issues out here. Like I said, this meeting today came about because of WBAI.
Yes.
And other information has come made known to the community because of your station, where we don't have too many stations that do that.
So you're saying that the program that they have now reaches a lot of people, right?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
I produced a play last year, and the performer was on WBAI, and because she was, I got a lot of people coming to the play.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What part of New York you live in, sir?
I live in New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey? Oh,
yes.
Okay, right on. So, what was the name of the play?
In Pursuit of Justice.
In Pursuit of Justice.
It was the Ida B. Wells story.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think that's a very disappointing situation. I love BAI. I get most of my information on what's going on and what's happening in reality from BAI. I do not depend on the major network news station. I depend on BAI 24 hours a day. So for Pacifica to attempt to intimidate and try to take it away from us, I am a fighter. I will be with BAI and help fight also. Anything I can do, just let me know. And I hope BAI successful.
How do you think Bernard White has been as head of BAI?
Excellent.
All right, okay.
Absolutely excellent. In fact, Bernard White interviewed me last year when he was out at the African Festival on the 4th of July out in the park in Brooklyn. And we had a good interview. Absolutely excellent person.
Okay.
There should be no reason whatsoever to remove him from his position.
All right. Thank you, bro.
You
can. Yeah.
It's, I'm just getting the voice. Go ahead.
It's just a continuation of the coup of 200. And they was always in objection to the fact that the programming at BAI is too black and too strong. And there were a lot of progressive voices, so-called progressive voices there at BAI, who totally, they are very progressive when it comes to any other thing except black people are in control. And the point is not that black people dominance, we are fair, we give everybody an equal voice, the indigenous people, the Asian people, the gay people. What better programming you want than that? They want things that is more like more popular to, you know, but that is not what BAI was founded for. It was for the voice of the voiceless, you know, and I reject the fact that they come in to try and improve on something that is already good. It don't need fixing. They just have to leave us alone, and that is what I have to say.
Thank you for that. Right, and I just want to tell you what that was at a Mumia Abu-Jamal event in New York yesterday, and that was moderated by Sundiata Sadiq from the Free Mumia Coalition.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for your public comment. We listened, we heard you, and we appreciate the time and effort you've taken to address us. We're close to the end of this meeting. Ifia requested to acknowledge some of our staff.
My name is Ifia Nwangaza. I'm the representatives for the affiliates. One of the two representatives for the affiliates. The second is David Beaton on the corner there. I'm also the corporate secretary for the Pacifico National Board, and I want to acknowledge our previous recording secretary and your neighbor, Mary Berg. And our current recording secretary, Richard Uzel from KPFT, the Texas Pacifica Station. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. It's now 2:15. Many of us have already left because we had plane flights scheduled. Many of us have to leave shortly. I think that we should set it. I would suggest that somebody move to have our next meeting by teleconference, a special meeting in 2 weeks.
So move.
On Sunday evening.
Second.
Okay, very good. Is there any objection to that?
Could I just make could we look at KPFTX and see what other than Fridays and Sundays? I mean, in all fairness, there are other days that we could do this other than Friday.
You know, there are so few board members here. I think we should set the meeting. That was the decision that was made, and then at the next meeting we can, if anyone wants to make a request for a new schedule. And I would suggest, Nia, that you poll the members online to find out if there is a better schedule between now and 2 weeks from today.
And 2 weeks makes us what, the 15th?
You tell me.
17th?
It makes it the 10th.
The 10th of May.
So you're saying that we'll have it on the 10th and I do a poll for the one after that? And do they have to be every 2 weeks? I mean, this is really taxing.
Not necessarily. Just let's make the next one.
There's one on the calendar for the 3rd, for May 3rd. Is that a mistake?
Who approved that?
May 3rd?
What is today's date? The 26th?
Yeah, that's a week.
Is that 1 week? I would suggest that we make it 2 weeks from today. Yeah, we can't hear you, Carolyn. Use a microphone.
That was posted when we had set that series of Sunday and Friday meetings all together.
Right.
So evidently it's an error. Shall I remove it and post it for the following week?
Well, let's poll first.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, what?
Yes, post it for a week from 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
We can if you conclude the poll within a week. Then we can change it, but otherwise.
No. I'm okay. We can leave it for the 10th, but going forward to poll after that. Every 2 weeks is really abusive. This is too much.
Okay. All right. We can discuss that on the 10th also. But 10. If you would do an email poll, that would be helpful for better days of the week. All right. We will place all the old and new business.
May 10th is Mother's
May 10th,
Day.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Okay. How about Friday? What is that? The 8th. Friday evening, the 8th, at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
8th of
May.
There's no way I could come.
I can't do it. I'll be traveling to New York.
What happened to the 10th?
It's Mother's Day.
Do we go to, how about the 3rd, which has already been posted? I know it's terrible. I understand. But we have a carryover agenda.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, it's been posted for a month. That's the advantage of it.
Until after midnight.
All right. What about Sunday, May 17th? That'll give everybody three weeks.
That's better for me.
So move.
Not available. I won't be here.
Oh boy.
That's better for me. I won't be here.
Okay. Is that a consensus? May 17th
for me?
No, that's not good for me
because we only
have
nine
Malcolm
people
X
here.
Festival, and I will be totally dead by 8 o'clock on Sunday. So in fact, I won't even be out of the.